We all have an appointment. In fact, we all have two appointments. One appointment is death. But what's our preparation before that appointment? Paul writes to the people in the church of Ephesus, a portion of that was what Debbie read earlier, to praise God for what he had done for them, but also what he was going to do for his people. There had been a spiritual resurrection in Ephesus, and so what Paul was saying is to rejoice in it, to be alive for what God was doing in their lives, for what God was about to do in their city. But that didn't keep them free from spiritual attacks. Satan will probably attack, and we've shared this some time ago, when there are spiritual highs that people have, and that's when Satan attacks them as he did with Jesus. Paul says, the purpose of I'm writing to you, Ephesians, is to talk about salvation by grace, and that salvation is rooted in God through Jesus Christ. And he goes on to tell him, he said, this was established before the very foundation of the earth, before the world was ever conceived. He had a plan for mankind. And so our adoption, as we know, comes through Jesus Christ and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's how we have life, and that's how we have hope. Unfortunately, sin came along and divided that relationship that we had with God through sin. And it happened back in the Garden of Eden, and how many of us do not blame Adam? And I mean, how many of us do blame Adam and Eve for where we're at today? Probably the majority of people do. However, when you have a fallen angel such as Satan, he's going to find somebody else to attack that will bring that into the world. I've seen a lot of cars with bumper stickers, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of cars with bumper stickers too. And if you'll take a look at that one, and you see them all the time, you die tonight, where would you be? We see road signs all along. Frankly, I hate those things. They don't do anything for me. Now, maybe they do for some people. And that may be a person's way of sharing the message. That may be a person's way of sharing the gospel. But, when I look at, and that happens to be from Ohio. But, you know, when we look at that, and maybe it does give some people a thought that I need to take a look at where I'm headed. But to me, it doesn't do anything to me. I think there's more to life than that, and there are different ways of sharing the message. And I think sometimes one of the most important ways that we share the message is how we live our life. And what people see through us and what people see in us. We all have that appointment with death, but what is people seeing as we go on in our lives? What manner have we prepared ourselves before that appointment? So I think there's better ways of sharing the gospel, and I think our life is so important. Bumper stickers may be one way, and that may be your way. I've seen bumper stickers, some of them I like. We're getting into the political season. So we'll see a lot of political bumper stickers, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with supporting, you know, who we believe is right. But Paul had a message for the church at Ephesus. He had a church for the message of message for the church at Colossae. He had a message for the church at Galatia. And although the message was the same, he had a different way of presenting it at each one of those churches because each one of those churches had a different need. It would be just like me if I spoke to an Assembly of God church, my delivery would probably be different than what it is to this church. The message would be the same, and the message would remain the same, but the delivery may be different because of different beliefs within each different congregation. I don't see Paul, I was going to say driving around, but walking around with a robe full of bumper stickers saying, repent or go to hell. I see Paul looking at someone like Phil and talking to Phil. And I'm only picking Phil out because he's sitting there. But that's what I see Paul doing. Talking to a person, an individual, with that message. Talking to them about, do they believe the gospel? You've all heard of T.D. Jakes, I'm sure. He certainly will deliver a message different than I do. But he has a different congregation. But the message remains the same. It's a message of Jesus. God's love, and we all believe that. But in the midst of walking through this world and walking through this life, people want their own way. They want to do things their own way. They want everyone to do things the way that they want it done. And if they're not happy, what do? Well, they may pick up their basketball and go home, pick up their football and go home. They may quit a job because they don't like something that's there. But it's the same gospel that Jesus is trying to communicate. Some people may not like the way I deliver a message. Cindy's not here today, but she might be the one. She would be the one that would have a comment. So how do we get to that appointment thing, and we all have an appointment? Well, it's what we do in our lives that leads up to that appointment, and it leads up to what we face. The bad news is we're all going to die unless the rapture comes. The rapture of the church comes, we're all going to die. I can't say I necessarily like that idea. I'm not excited about it. But it's like we all have appointments. I make appointments all week. I can do what I want to do. I can see who I want to see. I can talk to who I want to talk to. Sometimes I miss an appointment. I miss a dentist appointment as often as I can. I had a couple doctor's appointments this week, and I get to one at 8 o'clock Friday morning. Well, I didn't. I get there at 7:45. It was an 8 o'clock appointment, and I get in about 5 till, and the doctor's not here yet. Well, where is he? You know, I've made my part of the appointment. He ought to be there. I get calls from Dan Young down here on a Monday for a Wednesday funeral. It's not on my calendar. But we make time for those appointments. Make time to have an opportunity to minister to a family. So we all normally can do what we want. See who we want, take a nap when we want. If we don't work, if we're retired. We can pretty much live our lives the way we want. But the writer of Ecclesiastes said, in verse 2, chapter 3, he says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. There are two dates in life that we have no choice over. No choice when we're born. No choice when we die. And there's no doubt that the second one's going to come because the first one's already come for everyone in this room. And so a lot of times we stop and we wonder and we think about, you know, am I the only one that thinks about this? I'm the only one that worries about it. I'm the only one who gives any thought to it. But there was a guy in the Old Testament by the name of Job, and Job says, a man breathes his last, and where is he? He's taking his last breath, and all the stuff that Job went through, he said, a man breathes his last, and where is he? Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there about life after death. There's a lot of confusion that goes because everybody thinks they have the answer. They forget to look at the Bible and look at what Jesus and what God has said to us. And so we want answers because it's something that we're going to face and we're going to see. Psalms 90, the writer said, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, he said, our outer body's wasting away. So when we look back on it, life is relatively short in most cases. I'm a baby boomer. I'll be the first one to admit it. I admit that because a lot of you out there are in the same boat. I did a funeral, a graveside service for a lady this week that was 91 years old. She didn't live forever. I did a funeral service for Terry's mom. Lived to be 90-some years old. 94 today. And she, unfortunately, didn't live forever. The same thing holds true for us. John Lennon said something in 1966. And I thought this is interesting. He says, "Christianity will go, it will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I'm right, and I will be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity." 14 years later, John Lennon died as a result of a bullet by Mark David Chapman, December 8, 1980, in New York. He also wrote a couple books that had a couple songs in them that had words about God. One of them, he said, and it was in a song, he said, "God is a concept by which we measure our pain." And it was a song where he talked about, and he listed the Beatles, he listed the Bible, he listed Jesus, he listed Bob Dylan. He talked about yoga, he talked about Kennedy. And ultimately, the end of it, the last thing he said was, he only believes in himself and his wife, Yoko Ono. Christianity is still alive. So is rock and roll. But just a different version. But they're both alive, but I can tell John Lennon that Christianity will outlive that. We see many articles written on how to live longer. You take care of yourself, you run every day, you get on a treadmill, you do everything that you can do, and you'll live longer because you're in better health. We see products sold that help with the aging process. They'll take away wrinkles. I haven't found them to work. Oh, wait a minute. I haven't seen them to work. But we see those things out here, and we see people trying to figure out how to do it. But we have an appointment, and there's two types of death the Bible talks about. The first is where the body's separated from the soul. The soul lives forever. Physical death is not punishment in any way. It's just part of life. Paul said that, and he told the Corinthians, he said, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Jesus has swallowed it all. It's what he's saying is that we have victory and we have life. But there's also a second death that's referred there. Revelation 2:11 says, it talks about death, and it says, to die is to never die. You die the physical death, you die the spiritual death, and if our hearts aren't in relationship with Jesus Christ, then there is death upon death. There is nothing beyond that. Paul said in Ephesians, he gives us the reason. This is really why he says not to fear. He says, "For it is by God's grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved." Actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life. This is the Amplified Version. They do a great job of explaining some things. Through faith, and this is salvation, not of yourselves, not through any effort of our own, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God that as a result of your works, not your attempts to keep the law, so that no one will be able to boast or take credit in any way for what he has done, for we are his workmanship, his own master work. And it goes on to say, a work of art. Each one of us is God's work of art. We think about that. Some plan for each one of us. We are created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand so that we would walk in them. He prearranged and made ready for us. That's why we don't have to fear. Grace is a crucial thing when we look at this, because of that belief and because of that trust, that knowing that the grace of God has provided something for us beyond what we have. Spiritual death is a result of Adam and Eve. Physical death is a result of Adam and Eve. And he said to Adam and Eve, he said, to dust you shall return. And if we know, we're familiar with Genesis, and we all are, the Bible says that he had made man from dust. Someone said, and I read this and I thought it was interesting, if you're born once, you will die twice. You're born once, you'll die twice. If you are born twice, you will die once. If we are reborn, the physical body dies, but the spirit lives on. There are many religions that believe different things about death. Eastern religions believe in reincarnation, that you could come back as a dog. That's what they believe. You could come back as maybe a better person. Some believe that we only sleep until Jesus returns and we really don't die. Some people believe that the body dies and in some future time our soul will be reunited with that dead body. I don't believe the Bible teaches any of that. I believe the Bible teaches that when we are resurrected, then we have a resurrected body. I do not believe that the soul dies. In fact, I think the Bible makes it pretty clear, as Paul said, to live or to die is gain. That I'd rather die, I'd rather be with Christ. Because for me to die, it was no big deal to him. When we die, our souls immediately go to be with Jesus. And I think we need to remember that. We go, well, how do you know that? He spoke to the thief hanging on the cross and he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Pretty much sums it up. You can't have too much more to hang your hat on than that. Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 says, immense in mercy and with an incredible love he embraced us. He took our sin-dead bodies and made us alive in Christ. He did it all on his own with no help from us. Isn't that amazing? Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. He has us then where he wants us, right next to him. All the time in eternity to shower grace and shower love on his people. Christians will face judgment. But they're going to be judged on what we did. We're not going to be judged on what we didn't do. And so I saw some things this week, and I thought it was kind of interesting, the things that we'll be accountable for. How we managed relationships. How do we get along with people? How do we get along with our spouse? Be an interesting one. How we serve the Lord. What do we do for the Lord? How do we handle our finances? Were we faithful to give to God? Did we help the needy when they needed it? How do we lead our family? How did we do that as a Christian? What did we do? How do we manage our business? How do we love our neighbors? Those people that we come in contact with, that like Dwayne this morning, that needed prayer. How do we treat our colleagues? How do we treat those people we worked with? Were we a manager? And I told someone, said, what do you want to be remembered by when you retire? And I said that I wasn't a jerk. There'll be some people that think I was a jerk, and that's okay. Because some of them won't. What have we done on earth? How have we dealt with God's anointed people? What do we say about church leadership? We're behind their back. He's going to ask us all that stuff. and we're going to have to be accountable for it. We're all going to stand there and we're going to give an account. So how do we do it? Well, number one, we love God. Then we serve others. So the greatest thing you can do is serve others. Give of ourselves. Die to ourselves. Support missions and support evangelism. Be an evangelist. Enjoy your days. Enjoy relationships. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy kids. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your church. Enjoy your job. Jesus is coming, and he wants us to enjoy the day. He wants us to enjoy every day. Steve Jobs, and I'm going to share this in closing, the co-founder of Apple, died in 2011 from a very aggressive form of pancreatic cancer. And after his death, his biographer released his biography, and it said that he was a devout Zen Buddhist. And the last paragraph said, "Sometimes I believe in God, but sometimes I don't. I think it's 50-50. But ever since I've had cancer, I've been thinking about it more. And I find myself believing a bit more. Maybe because it's that I want to believe in an afterlife. That when you die, it doesn't all disappear. The wisdom you've accumulated somehow goes on." He paused for a moment and said, "Yeah, but sometimes I think it's just like an old off-on switch. Click, and you're gone. Maybe that's why I didn't like putting off-on switches on Apple devices." We all decide for ourselves what we're going to do, and we decide for ourselves where we're going to go. It's as simple as that. And we always pray a prayer before people leave. But I want to pray that prayer now. Because our heart needs to be prepared to go to heaven and not go to hell, what we're going to talk about next week. And then we're going to talk about heaven the following week. I want to get the bad stuff over first. But then we're going to talk about heaven. So pray this prayer with me. "Dear Jesus, I confess my sin. I invite you into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen." That's how simple it is. And then tomorrow, pick up your Bible for 12 minutes and read it. Take an extra 5 minutes and read scripture that we've been talking about for a couple weeks. God bless you. I love being here.